Maybe today I would like to give a talk about donation, about the benefit, usefulness, meaning, and proper way of accomplishing the practice of giving. Whenever we give something, whenever we sacrifice something from whatever material goods we possess or from our time, we are going against the stream of the world. We are going against the worship of matter. And we make spiritual things more important than material things. And whenever we make spiritual things more important in our life, or to put it in more Buddhist terms, whenever we make the Dhamma more important in our life, something happens within ourselves. If it is true giving and not just the outer act of giving, if it is true giving with a giving heart, then what happens is that our heart opens. We become instantly spiritualized. We feel like some burden is removed from us. We feel like we have grown from a small person, from a narrow person, to a greater person. Our worldly burden of going after money, of having to follow the laws of the world, having to strive in the world in order to be successful, opens up to another set of laws, to another reality. We make real another world for us. We make real another set of laws for us that are more just, that are more beautiful, that are more hopeful, or that are more hope-giving. A world wherein not what we possess is important, not what we are in the world is important, but wherein what we are as a person is important, wherein our character is important, wherein the beauty and richness of our heart is important. Now, actually, people try to get out of the law of the world, or out of the laws of the world, in all sorts of ways. People take drugs and alcohol in order to get out of the laws of the world, in order to get out of this game of going after money and just having to think about your work all the time. Now, there's no doubt about that, to some degree that can be accomplished, to some degree that can be successful, that through drinking and drugs you for some time get out of the world of money making and of the world of mere matter. But the truth of it is that instead of transcending that world, you're going backwards to a more primitive form of life and presuming some believe in the law of karma, you're actually heading to a more primitive form of life. That if you have some conviction in the law of karma, you may understand that if you die at the wrong moment, you can, at least for some time, become a worm or become some incredible primitive being afterwards. With the difference that if you would fall in this manner, it will not be that after a few hours your brain recovers and your human karma supports you again. Rather, it is likely that it will take a long time before you recover. That is the first danger of this mode of action. On the other hand side, there is this other possibility of getting out of the world of matter, of getting out of the world of your daily life problems. And that is not by narrowing your consciousness further down to the level of there not being much consciousness left, but rather through extending your consciousness. Through extending your consciousness from the one little me to a consciousness that encompasses all the others. Perhaps sometimes you possess something that you can reasonably easy part with. And you find somebody, you see somebody who may need it, or for whom it can be of greater service than for yourself. If you can then give with an open heart, you will find that there will be a shift in your consciousness. You will become, in that moment, somebody who can comprehend two positions at once. Or we might even say, who can be in two positions at once. You are no longer inculcated in your own little world, but you're in a world wherein are two beings, and a gift, and a flow of energy, and beauty, and nobleness. At least that's how it should be. Still, even if a gift is given without the right mindset, it will not be forgotten. It will still become part of you. It has entered your subconscious mind, and from there will do its work. In the first instant, quite involuntarily, it will have come under the law of association of ideas, which means, for example, that If you have given food to somebody, not only have you given food, but you also have given strength. You also have given health. And thus, by the law of association of ideas, whenever you see food, or are recollecting your health or your strength, or perhaps more importantly, the absence thereof, something in you also remembers some selfless or spiritual connection there is. So you find that maybe even if when you have given something you were not parting very happily with, at a later occasion, when you remember that deed, in the first instance there arises a thought which you do not hope to suppress. So that is already a wonderful thing, if you have at least off and on some thought that you don't wish to get rid of. And that is actually one very essential thing about giving, at least in Buddhism. Because in Buddhist practice, the practice of giving or sacrificing lies actually at the very beginning of the Buddhist path of mental training. So you might see, perhaps obviously enough, that if you have only thoughts arising within you, which you immediately would like to get rid of, you're not very likely to get very far with a training of mind. So the practice of giving, similar to the practice of virtue, is an important preparation for the cultivation of the mind and also for learning to extend one's consciousness beyond this narrow scope of I only, and to do it at will. But there are other benefits also of giving. If somehow in your life your health goes down, your strength goes down, you're in bad health, you lack strength, if you remember an act of giving, for example, an act of giving food, and if you understand that relation between food and strength and health, that good thought will produce a certain sense of relief in you. It will be your momentary escape from your condition of bad health and from your condition of lack of strength. And that sense of relief in turn will also benefit your body. That sense of relief will, at least for a moment, balance your internal bodily processes. And of course, the more there is to reflect upon, or the longer you can keep going that wholesome train of thoughts, the greater will be the sense of relief, and consequently also the greater will be the benefit also for the body's health and for the body's strength. So there we see the psychophysical benefit of giving. But there we may want to add that some knowledge regarding karma or some knowledge regarding spiritual things in general can infinitely magnify the benefit of the deed done if it is in accordance with that knowledge. Because if you have knowledge, then you can reflect longer about a certain thing. You can comprehend not only the deed done, but you can also comprehend something about karma or about spiritual things, about the result of giving and so on. So the more knowledge you possess, the longer you can also keep going that wholesome train of thoughts. But of course this will also be true for your failure to give. For example, if you have the knowledge that giving is good and you have the gift and it's not so difficult to part with that gift, but you still don't do it, then that omission of chance will also be magnified. And consequently also the psychological and physical result thereof. Then maybe having shown a little bit of the inner side of giving, maybe it will be also helpful to give some association lines which we can use to give intelligently and in a manner that is most relevant for us or for whoever is a donor. So now we have stated already that food gives strength and health, and it is maybe also quite true for example medicine. But maybe medicine, we would add also the curing of disease and the giving of longevity will be equal benefits of it. So if you have some disease, or if you expect that you might get sick, maybe you can think about donating some medicine to somebody. Then maybe we have clothing. Clothing gives comfort, it gives beauty, and depending on the kind of clothing, we may also add perhaps that it gives certain social benefits. While giving lodging, for example, will give protection and will give comfort. So these are the most fundamental, these four are the most fundamentally needed items for any human being. And in Buddhism, there are also the four primary items that we can say bind a Buddhist monk to the Buddhist laity. These are the four things that any monk is sort of dependent on towards laity. So it can also in one way be said that unless you have given much of these in the past, you may not find it possible to live a monk's life, because you somewhat depend on your good karma in this respect, on your good karma that you have performed in the past. But now, of course, these four are not the only things that people wish for. So if you hope to receive wealth, somewhat at least somewhere in the future, then it is good if you give a gift of money to somebody. And if you give a gift of money with intelligence and knowledge of the workings of karma, and you pay attention to whom you give it, then even a gift of little money may produce great benefits. There are various examples in the Buddhist texts wherein a person, he gives a small amount of something. Now, of course, in this case, not money, because monks are not allowed to accept money, but a small amount of anything. But he gives it with great joy. And he may give it to the Buddha or to some enlightened being, some holy disciple of the Buddha, and sometimes almost instantaneously or shortly thereafter, he suddenly comes to great wealth. On the other hand side, if you donate books, for example, that may produce wisdom as a reward. And traditionally it's stated that for one seeking vision, the best donation is a lamp. But now you have to understand the law of association for everyone. For different people might have slightly different lines of association. But then, not only, as I just said before, not only what is given is important, but also to whom you give. So if you give food to some animal, the karmic result, or maybe we perhaps might say the magical significance thereof, is rather little, we can say. Although it should not be despised. Even you give little, there will be some benefit. But on the other hand side, if you give to holy people or monks who are ideally symbolize at least aspiration to holiness, because such a being is a symbol for spiritual things, the potency of the gift is usually much greater. So one saying goes, all things proceed from the spirit. An idea which in this context will mean that if you give a donation to the source, so to say, if you give a donation to the spirit, then you can, so to say, wish for anything. And this is also one reason why in Buddhism the order of monks, the Sangha, are actually thought of as a field of infinite merit for the world. In Mahayana, the Buddhist order of monks is sometimes said to be a wish-fulfilling jewel, because whatever you give there, you can, your aspirations for your gift, what you hope for that gift, will gain some sort of infinite potential. But we may add that at times the word Sangha, which is the Buddhist word for the order of monks, is at times also extended to include any person that is somewhere on the path of holiness. So maybe that much in regard to the significance to whom you donate. But then maybe in the beginning we already said something about the inner experience of one who gives rightly. And you know, we have later also dropped it somewhere between the lines. We want to say it again more clearly, you know, that the inner mindset of the person who gives is extremely important. So if you give a gift with joy and with readiness and from an inner inspiration instead of, you know, from a desire to get something in the future, then that kind of gift will not just bring material benefits in the future, but will equally also give an inner condition of joy and inspiration. And when qualities as these are becoming firmly established in a person's character, they make that person a divine being. Even here and now, we can say. And the hereafter will follow whatever established itself in the here and now. So, and then, now, what is a divine being? Either here or hereafter. A divine being is a being whose life is easy. It is a being to whom what is needed comes of its own accord. Who gets what he wants when he wants. But still, we want to make clear that it is not just about the mind. No? It is, if you're giving something, even if it's not with the perfect mindset, either the perfect mindset during the time of giving, or before, or after, which means sometimes you may not feel very inspired when you give, but maybe afterwards you feel inspired, or you feel beforehand inspired, but when you give you don't feel inspired anymore, and so on. But even if you give something without the perfect mindset, there are benefits to be gained. Because the subconscious mind remembers. It remembers the deed and the gift. Only it may be that the result of such giving will be that you will receive one day whatever is due to you, but you will not be able to enjoy what you received. So now you find there are probably many rich people who can never enjoy their wealth. When they give, they hope for something, and when they receive, they hope for yet more. So that is a pitiable condition. But of course, how we feel and how we think when we are giving is both a matter of inspiration and a matter of habit. So if we never have been educated about any benefits for ourselves that we may derive from the practice of giving, then even if we would somehow be prompted to give something by somebody outside of ourselves or due to social pressures, sometimes rich people, they are expected to give some donation to some worthy cause, but they only give it in order that they're not stigmatized by the members of the society which they want to associate with. So they maybe only give because of that. So in such circumstances, they are not likely to feel much pleasure about giving. But on the other hand side, if we have heard of the benefits, but are not yet entirely convinced of them, then if we somehow try anyhow to be generous at times, just to make sure, so to say, we may find that with repetition and habit, as inner resistances are gradually overcome, we may equally gradually find inner benefits arising, and thus the appropriate inner mind states accrue. And by that, we may learn to use also this most ancient form of magic, the magic of giving. And with that, I end the Dhamma talk.